Welcome to this podcast, which is part of our Race for Relevance campaign on technology and the finance function. It is important that finance teams are mindful of a range of legal risks when considering the use of technology. In this podcast, Harry Small, a partner in the IT commercial department of Baker McKenzie's London office, considers the legal risks in procuring technology that a finance team should be aware of. He explains the differences between the waterfall and agile approaches and how benefits can be tracked into contract terms. He then considers issues around the procurement of cloud computing services. Here's Harry.
Okay. The point about legal risks of technology is not about becoming a sort of extra technical person. It's about understanding the professional advice you can be given by lawyers, by technical people, and by other professionals so that you can make an informed assessment of the risks. The first thing, perhaps, to say is that the procurement of technology has a variety of different philosophies which you have a choice as to what to adopt. You can either, if you know exactly what you want, you have your proper advice, you know what the business benefits are, and crucially the project's not going to change, you can adopt what we in the trade call a waterfall approach to procurement. You have a steady state business set of business benefits. They get converted into technical requirements, and those technical requirements get built. And the reason it's called waterfall is that each subsequent phase of the project, effectively, the definition of that phase is the deliverable from the previous phase. So it waterfalls all the way down and ends up with a system. And the good points about that is it's consistent with a fixed fee approach. So no financial surprises. The disadvantage of that is that, at least in my experience, the majority of IT projects tend to alter as you start building the system. So you need to put change in, and change costs money. And there has to be a way, often called an agile way, of working collaboratively with technical providers, technology providers, in order to get to a result which isn't frozen in time at the moment you initiated the project. Agile processes also have their disadvantages. They're much more suitable to time and materials costings. So you have to think of some way of boxing in the costs, because otherwise they can spiral beyond control. The way one often does that is to bind them in time. You have 3 weeks to come up with this, and if you haven't come up with it at the end, then we need to step back and revisit the project. So always at the start of any procurement or other major technology project, think of the way of working, the philosophy that you're going to adopt to the contract and to the procurement. So one of the most important things that a CFO, the C-suite generally, has to decide for IT projects is, how do I translate the technical benefits that the project offers into business benefits for my company? And I often think the sensible way of dealing with that is to do a gap analysis between what business benefits you are sure, and most importantly, the IT provider can warrant that will be delivered, and the ones you want. And obviously, once you've done the back gap analysis, you need to decide with those gaps whether you can live without them, whether you can't live without them and you need to pay for them or procure them elsewhere, or generally what to do with them. And that gap analysis between basic technical functions and business benefits is often most acute in the cloud space. Now, you know the different types of cloud, private, public, that are available. It's quite important also to look at geographical cloud. Many providers will limit, for example, storage of data to particular geographies, for example, the European Economic Area, or particular countries. Remember, by the way, that there are quite a few countries in Europe that have banking or client customer secrecy laws that are far more restrictive than the ordinary Europe-wide data protection laws. Do bear that in mind. But in general, you have a straight choice that the wider the geography in which your data can safely and legally be stored, the less per megabyte of storage you'll pay for it. So one of the most important aspects of cloud procurement is security. Now, you have an obligation to take steps to ensure the technical and organizational security of your data. That doesn't mean that you have to be a security expert. You have to take advice from security experts. As a lawyer, I've seen a lot of security issues, and I sometimes think I could have a second career as an IT consultant. But it's important one doesn't fall into that trap. We want to take proper advice from people whose judgment you can rely on. That perhaps brings me to what cloud can offer in a more general sense. We often hear the phrase AAS, as a service, software as a service, data as a service, application development as a service, and one or two client customers and providers have got to the terms EAAS, everything as a service. Now, what's the philosophy behind this? Philosophy is that rather than in a traditional IT procurement, where you have a one-to-one negotiation between the customer and the provider, and you settle the description of the product and the services, and you settle the financial terms, and you settle the way it'll end, and normally you lock yourselves into a relationship for a significant period. AAS, let's call it EAAS, is a one-to-many service. The business plan upon which such offerings are based is normally that there is a standard product or service which is offered to anyone who will pay for it, normally without a lengthy period of commitment, but because it's a one-to-many service, is not really susceptible to major one-to-one negotiation. As a result, you'll find, I think, unless you are a really enormous customer, like Her Majesty's Government, the chances, or and even then not much, the chances of being able significantly to negotiate EAAS contracts with major first-tier providers is not high and will certainly be a painful process, the pain probably overriding the minor benefits gained. Second-tier providers who need to enter the market, a little bit different if there is a balance of bargaining power in favour of the customer. But I would generally counsel against investing a heavy amount of legal and financial and management time in negotiating cloud contracts fundamentally. They're one-to-many contracts, and they're not designed for it. The advantage of the contract over a one-to-one negotiation is it's normally much cheaper, and there are significant business financial benefits to be achieved by it. I suppose the way to square the circle of the one-to-many cloud provision and not necessarily being able to get precise, tailored terms is to think of it as a relatively short-term relationship. If you don't like it, you should be able to get out of it at relatively short notice. That does mean, of course, one critical point, that you need to be able to ensure that your data and your processing can be taken away from one provider and either seamlessly provided to another or brought back in-house. And my own personal view is that it's a good idea to negotiate that and make sure there's something in it for the provider and pay for it, because in as a service contracting, you pay for what you get and you get what you pay for.
That was Harry Small, a partner in Baker McKenzie. In the second part of the podcast, Harry considers several game-changing principles of the General Data Protection Regulation, known as GDPR, that comes into effect in May 2018 for those with data in the EU. If you want to find out more about the Race for Relevance, then visit www.accaglobal.com/The Race for Relevance. Thank you for listening.